This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to look at all of those folks who view our political turmoil of the moment and say, oh boy, it's never been worse than this in America. It's the worst ever. We are close to civil war. We are close to a complete collapse of our political system. And Trump versus Biden, really? Really? Are we kidding again? For people who look at this moment in time and think, boy, it's never been worse, there's a very, very important book for you to read. It's actually a thriller, but it's a real-life thriller. It's a historical thriller. We've mentioned it before. We talked about it before. It's already now a bestseller, just recently released. The author is Timothy Egan, who is a National Book Award winner and a New York Times best-selling author. His new book is A Fever in the Heartland. The subtitle is The Ku Klux Klan's Plot to Take Over America and the Woman Who Stopped Them. Tim, congratulations to all your well-deserved success for A Fever in the Heartland.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me on again. I love being on your show. If I could just say one thing about, to your intro, I actually wrote a book, the one that won the National Book Award, called The Worst Hard Time. You want to talk about hard times? I mean, it was about the Dust Bowl in the 30s when not only did the earth seem to turn on people, but, you know, I mean, folks were eating roadkill in parts of the Great Plains, and kids were dying randomly of dust pneumonia. So I have a little perspective on that.
Right, and I think your book provides that perspective. In other words, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is why you decided to do this, how you ended up getting into the book. And the book is a portrait of the rise and fall of a remarkable figure who I'd never heard of before reading A Fever in the Heartland. His name was D.C. Stephenson. And he was the leader of the Ku Klux Klan in Indiana with plans to actually go national in terms of competing for the national leadership as the, what is it, the Grand Imperial Wizard. He'd already made it to be a dragon, but I think a wizard is higher ranking in the Ku Klux Klan than a dragon.
Yeah, they call him the Imperial Wizard, which, you know, among the silly names to go with their silly rituals, but that's the Capo di Capo.
Yes, that's the big guy. In any event, the story of the book is about how literally this guy was able to take over the state of Indiana, who had control of the legislature, had control of the governor's office, was the most powerful person in the state. And then it all fell apart because of really horrible sexual allegations against him that were made in a very dramatic trial. And no spoiler alert on how that trial worked out.
Thank you.
People are going to have to read the book. Okay, so when did you become interested? Because you're not from Indiana. You're a Northwest guy.
And I'm a third-generation Northwesterner enjoying a beautiful month of May in the great Northwest. And I had done this book you mentioned earlier on a pilgrimage. I walked through on a 1,200-mile pilgrimage trail to rediscover my lapsed Catholic faith. And after that, I wanted to do something closer to home. And, growing up, I'd heard bits and pieces. It was in the mists of time about the Klan in the state of Oregon, which, you know, we think of now as this uber-woke state, but in fact they had elected a Klan-sponsored governor in 1921, and they were the only state in the nation to vote by popular vote to essentially outlaw Catholic schools because they didn't like, the Catholics tended to be immigrants. They didn't like immigrants. So I was going to do that story, and it took me to what I call the quintessential American state, Music Man State, state of Indiana, because it is so considered, you know, the sort of essence of Americana. And there the Klan got a stronghold like it had never acquired anywhere in the world. In fact, Michael, on the 4th of July, 1923, in Kokomo, Indiana, one of the many towns I went to research this book, the Klan staged the largest rally in its history. 200,000 people stretching over the cornfields of Kokomo, while this awful D.C. Stevenson descended from the sky in his Klan KKK airplane and stepped out in his resplendent purple robe, and everyone fell to their knees like they were greeting the Wizard of Oz. So I wanted to try to answer some of the whys. How could, you know, and folks were very nice to me when I was researching this book. The story is there. It's just largely not told. But I wanted to get to some of the whys of this. How could, you know, seemingly nice folks on the surface embrace what is actually the nation's oldest domestic terror group? It is a terror group, and a terror group that in the 20s expanded its hatred from blacks, which had been their traditional source in the original incarnation of the Klan, to Jews and immigrants and Catholics and women. Women who were flappers, who were the Gatsby-esque, you know, socially liberated women. So it's a good story. It's a fantastic story. And, you know, as an author, you're drawn to these collisions of good and evil and these dramatic points. And this story has the last third of the book is a courtroom thriller. And I loved all that. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Well, and again, what's so remarkable is the main character in the book is such a bad guy. I mean,
he really is.
In other words, we're talking about somebody in his personal life who had a habit of raping women and biting them and causing serious injury by taking out with his teeth big chunks of human flesh.
Weren't you
kind of amazed when you found that out?
Michael, I was thinking about this the other day. He was sort of a Hannibal Lecter of hate. I mean, I used to call him the Music Man of Hate, but that's too benign of a term. As he got ever more powerful, and he was a drifter, a con man who floated into southern Indiana in Evansville, where the Klan got its first foothold in the north, and gradually built town by town until all but two of the 92 counties in Indiana had a Klan chapter, very strong. And one in three white males wore the sheets and swore the oath of Klan white supremacy. But as he got ever more powerful and his reach increased to 21 states and he had his designs on a Senate seat, which he surely would have been appointed to because he owned the Klan governor and the existing senator was dying, and he had his eyes on the White House in 1928, 4 years after this, his personal life, as you mentioned, became ever more monstrous. So he went from being a sexual predator and an alcoholic and a bootlegger. And by the way, the Klan crusaded for the purity of women, the prohibition of alcohol, and the outlawing and the jailing of all bootleggers. He became ever more monstrous in his personal life, to not just raping women, but going after them, gnashing at them with his teeth, chewing on them. And this is what's hard to grasp. Michael, was hard for me to believe. Even when he was arrested, you know, it took the trial to finally break him, but even when he was arrested and these crimes were being clear, his sponsor guy, became the mayor of Indianapolis. The Klan won the Indianapolis mayor vote by 9,000 votes. And so people were clung for a long time to this con man monster because he told them what they wanted to hear. He played to their fears.
This is something I wanted to get to, and if we can continue the conversation, relate it maybe a little bit to this moment in history, the moment we're living in right now. What was the appeal exactly? I mean, I didn't even know about this. They had a children's group called the Ku Klux Kiddies. They had women's groups. There was tremendous popularity. And the Klan newspaper, which had a huge circulation and influence, was called the Flaming Cross. Really? What appealed to people in the 1920s, which is not that long ago historically? What appealed to them? What appeals to people today about white supremacist ideas? That and more with Tim Egan, his book, A Fever in the Heartland. We'll be right back.
The Michael Medved Show.
your trouble by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Are you feeling old or tired? This is your immune system telling you your body has too much acid. Is your stomach upset? Acid indigestion? You can't eat the foods you really like? Well, Balance 7 will change all of that by diluting the acid buildup in your body. Go to our website, michaelmedved.com, and click on the banner for Balance 7. Use the code MEDVED and get $15 off your order. Call 800-793-9039. Free shipping plus a free bottle of My Smooth Skin and a money-back guarantee.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved Show, Tim Egan's book, A Fever in the Heartland, has made it onto the bestseller list, the New York Times list, and all other bestseller lists, because it is so fascinating. And it's shocking, and it reads like fantasy, but it's not fantasy. It's extremely well-documented thriller history. And about basically concentrating on one extraordinary figure from the 1920s who came very close to taking over an entire state, the state of Indiana, on behalf of the Ku Klux Klan. And some of the descriptions of Klan rallies and marches in Washington, D.C., throughout the state of Indiana, where they had hundreds of thousands of people, literally, putting on white robes with those funny hoods and burning crosses and trying to declare that people of color, that people of the Catholic faith, people of the Jewish faith, were simply not welcome in the United States of America. Tim, today, I think for a lot of people, there had been very little awareness of some of the paramilitary groups that created the havoc on January 6th, the Oath Keepers, or the Proud Boys, or the Three Percenters. None of them had quite the power of the Ku Klux Klan in the 1920s, but when you look at even thousands of people who are drawn to these marginal groups that are talking about fighting in the streets in the United States in behalf of white supremacy, is that reasons for alarm about where we are at the moment?
Well, I have a divided opinion on that. That's reason for alarm, but also reasons for hope. I follow the Proud Boys trial quite a bit, quite closely. And as you know, Proud Boys espoused this so-called replacement theory, and some of them marched in that infamous march a couple of years ago where they chanted, "Jews will not replace us." That was a slogan right out of the 1920s. And because we were at the peak of Jewish immigration. So there was a great fear among those racist types that Jews and immigrants would replace them. The Proud Boys are the distilled essence of that in our time. The good news is they're a marginal group. And, you know, they're you know, people who could not attract millions of folks in rallies as the Klan could in the 1920s. In the 1920s, there were up to 6 million members of the Klan. There were 3 Klan members elected governors, 3 Klan members elected senators, and 75 members of Congress who did the Klan's bidding. So that's the positive side. The negative side is, why do we Americans every now and then fall for a demagogue? Why do we follow someone whose personal behavior is known to be repugnant, who's so morally, you know, dismal, and yet we follow them because of a greater need or a greater fear, something like that? They're very good at playing to those two things. So I come down on two sides on this. We have greatly improved, and again, if you went to a microphone today and said, "I'm a proud member of the Ku Klux Klan," my God, you'd be universally condemned. And if you did it exactly 100 years ago today, you might be elected governor.
Right, and that's part of what is astonishing, because you know about when Hugo Black, who went on to become a very distinguished Supreme Court justice, was nominated for the Supreme Court, there were some questions that were raised because he had a background in the Ku Klux Klan in Alabama. And that was another thing that I think people will learn, is that really the high point for the Klan in the 1920s was not Mississippi or Alabama or Louisiana. It was Indiana. And
Colorado,
why that?
And the North, yeah, well, and Colorado elected a Klan governor, Clarence Morley, in 1924, and his slogan, not secret slogan, but his open slogan, was "Every man under the Capitol dome a Klansman." And then once elected, he tried to fire all the Jews and Catholics at University of Colorado in Boulder. So I just brief mention, Harry Truman, briefly, just because everyone was joining, and when he was an haberdasher, joined the Klan. But then he found out that they didn't want him to sell to Catholics, and he promptly asked for his money back. And he was public about this, that, you know, it was just the thing to do as the Fraternal Society. Now, why Indiana? It was the most homogenous state in the United States. It had the highest percentage of white Protestants of any other state, something like 97%. So Jews were not invading their, you know, coming in great droves. African Americans were more because of the Great Migration, but they were not a huge amount. Even Catholics, they only had, I think, about the most 12% of the whole population at one point.
And that's despite the fact that Notre Dame is in that state.
Notre Dame was the big institutional opponent. They got their name of Fighting Irish because they rioted against a Klan demonstration held this month in 1924. So it was the fact that everyone was so homogenous, and it was the fear of these imagined outsiders coming to change things. And it was all the time, Michael, you're a time traveler, you're a historian, you understand this, of great tumult. You know, people coming home from World War II, us coming out of a pandemic that killed so many Americans, the great migration of African Americans, peak of Jewish immigration, peak of Southern European immigration, prohibition, you know, which Winston Churchill called the greatest insult to civilization in the history of mankind. All these things going on, you can see why Churchill said it, because he never went more than 24 hours without alcohol in his bloodstream. But, I mean, all these things are going on, and so our reaction is to cower and retreat and think and go into hate and think, oh, there's an imagined America that's one way.
Yeah. When you look at America's political problems right now, the fact that we are actually in very real danger of defaulting and suffering a financial catastrophe based entirely on the revolting incompetence of our political leadership in Washington, what's the answer for Americans to get past? It's not quite a fever in the heartland,
right,
but it's a disillusionment around the
right
country with every American institution, it seems. What do we do?
We need to go to our unifying ideas. And again, you've said this before. We're not a tribal nation. We're not a nation based on one religion. We're a nation based on this incredible experiment, this idea that, you know, free people will govern themselves. But we've lost common narratives and we've lost unifying ideas. And that's what allows splinter ideas and hate ideas to flourish. Without a couple of guiding narratives, no one's going to get along. We're just going to retreat to our tribal and religious bases.
And part of that guiding narrative you can certainly get from reading extraordinary book, A Fever in the Heartland by Timothy Egan. It is now a national bestseller. Subtitle for the book, The Ku Klux Klan's Plot to Take Over America. There really was a plot. And the woman who stopped them. And how did she do it? And why? All answered. The Fever in the Heartland. Godspeed to you, Tim Egan. We will be right back.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America.
It's an honor to talk to you because I think you got the best talk show in the United States.
Thank you. I agree.
This is The Michael Medved Show. Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The FBI is in the hot seat when three of their own came forward for a tell-all in front of Congress.
Three FBI whistleblowers told the congressional hearing yesterday the Bureau is retaliating against them. Garrett O'Boyle is one of them.
All I wanted to do was serve my country by stopping bad guys and protecting the innocent. To my chagrin, bad guys have begun running parts of the government, making it difficult to continue to serve this nation and protect the innocent.
The FBI sent the House Weaponization of Government Committee a letter explaining why agents are being disciplined and insisting that it is not retaliation against whistleblowers. I'm Skip Kelly.
A 7.7 magnitude earthquake struck the South Pacific today, triggering a tsunami warning for nearby nations, including Fiji, but lifted the alert 3 hours after the quake struck. John Wick Chapter 4 has made $425 million and has pushed the John Wick franchise above the $4 million mark at the box office. Dave Collins.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
On the Michael Medved show, one of the news stories of the day involves the charges against President Trump and associates for trying to overturn the results of the election in Georgia, where, as everybody knows, it was about 12,000 vote difference between President Biden and President Trump for the electoral votes of the state of Georgia. In any event, they are now saying Fani Willis, the prosecutor in Fulton County, Georgia, is now saying that they won't have indictments until August, which is astonishing given the fact there's been a great deal of publicity. There's been a very active grand jury. And could that be an attempt to push this off so that this issue is right in the middle of the presidential election? Because August is when they're supposed to have the first debates, the first GOP debates. And would that come at a time when there's a whole passel of new indictments regarding President Trump and some of his closest associates? Rudy Giuliani, apparently, is one of the people they're talking about targeting. Could that be a crucial tool in the Democratic arsenal to defeat the Republicans this year? I'll tell you why it could. And it's not because everybody would necessarily believe all the charges against Trump, and he's already shown after the E. Jean Carroll case and after the Stormy Daniels and the Linda McDougal. None of these cases have dented Trump. The way that this would harm Trump is it would force him to be talking about that stolen election narrative in the middle of the campaign. And this is something that actually I think that Governor DeSantis has spoken about, and he's completely correct, which is that people are going to choose a course for the country and a president for the United States not based upon arguments about what happened in the last election. It's what's being talked about in this election. And whatever drags us back into talking about the close elections in Wisconsin or in Georgia or in Arizona is something that, and this has been shown by all the polling and all of the pollsters, it is something that damages the Republican cause, because it looks like you are reliving a past that wasn't particularly glorious. Also not particularly glorious is an effort at population control, which is taking place around the world. But what's so fascinating about this is that there's a long article in Reason magazine, and it's very well written. It's by Elizabeth Nolan Brown. And its headline for the article is "Storks Don't Take Orders from the State." And it shows a hand of a bureaucrat apparently wearing suit jacket and cuffs and holding a revolver and holding the gun to the head of a stork that is carrying a baby. Now, when you hear about population control and what governments are doing, usually you think about, well, this is efforts to tamp down the population. But this is the opposite. They point out at the very beginning of the article that the last time the U.S. was at replacement level fertility, the number of kids the average woman must have to stave off population decline without immigration, last time we were at replacement level was 2007. Replacement level fertility is roughly 2.1 kids per woman. Since then, America's total fertility rate dropped to 1.66. This, in turn, led to a lot of unanswered questions about the fate of federal entitlement programs, innovation, education, politics, and culture in an aging country. And you can look at countries like particularly Russia and Japan have been very hard hit by declining population. And in Russia, part of that is people getting the heck out of Dodge. And even before the war with Ukraine, there were lots and lots of Russian immigrants who were coming or going elsewhere and going, yes, to the United States and to Britain and to Israel, by the way. But the point about this is it's fascinating, and she makes a point, and it's very persuasive, that even though it is perfectly legitimate for people to talk about what we need to do to get people to have more babies, all of the places that they've really tried pronatalist policies, trying to encourage people to have more children, Putin tried it. He actually gave a fairly famous speech where he urged people to go home and make babies and drink vodka if necessary, but make those babies, and nobody listened. It didn't work. Viktor Orban, the strongman of Hungary, who has basically ruled that country for years, has also been one of those people who understands that it doesn't work for a country's future to have a declining population. We've moved away from that. The difficulty is that, as Elizabeth Nolan Brown concludes at the end of this very long and thoughtful piece that's full of information, in short, people are having fewer kids today because they're choosing to have fewer kids. Why are they choosing to have fewer kids? Part of it has to do with women leading the way in education. It used to be, of course, that women were much less likely to have college degrees. We had a number of our leading colleges and universities that didn't admit women once upon a time. And when I was at Yale, it was before Yale had begun admitting females as undergraduates. You had graduate students and law students who were female. But the idea is that when women are going to be spending 4 years in college and then going on to medical school or law school or graduate school, what you have is a lot of people who are just delaying fertility. And that means that fewer children. It's also a problem with the stability of marriage. People choosing to cohabit without getting married, who are much less likely to have children and to raise children. And with all of that, you can understand also how expensive it is, the process of having children. And I think that all is fascinating and worth considering. We'll place this article connected to our website, posted on our website, Storks Don't Take Orders from the State. This two messages that came in. William sends me a message, and William says, Michael, once again I ask you, as per the debt ceiling, why can we not cut foreign aid across the board? I don't understand why that kind of cut is not on the table. Billions of dollars could be saved. Am I wrong? Yeah, you're wrong. Because it's not that much money. The percentage of money that America spends on foreign aid, and this even includes the military aid we've provided to Ukraine, which has been unprecedented and exceptional, it's much less than 1% of the GDP. It's not even close to enough to make a difference, even if you eliminated the whole thing. There is far more to get to. The debt ceiling and the debt, we'll get to it and more. Coming up.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
This is a dietary supplement. It is totally natural. I wouldn't be without it. I take it every day. It's gotten me through the hard days of winter and pandemic and more, and helps you feel better, whether it's aches and pains or Relief Factor can help. It's made from natural products, including turmeric and fish oil, that is all blended together in a proprietary blend that actually works for people around the world. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, another message that came in from Richard. Not sure where Richard is, but it's addressed to Mr. Honest Republican. All right, even if you mean that ironically, I will take it. And then he asks, if the debt ceiling matter isn't rectified, whose fault would it be? And let me answer that right away before I even get to the rest of your message. I'll tell you whose fault it would be. There's plenty of blame to go around. Would be President Biden's fault, I think most dramatically. But it would also be the fault of Republicans in Congress, not necessarily Speaker McCarthy, because I believe he's doing the best he can to solve this matter. But some of those Republicans, and it could be 30 or 40 Republicans in the House, enough to prevent the House from getting anything done, who just see this as an opportunity to push an agenda that really has nothing to do with what they're being asked to do. The point about that you make, Richard, is that the whole idea of the debt ceiling is it's not spending new money. This is basically raising the level of debt, giving you the right to borrow more money to pay bills that you have already spent, you've already committed to pay. This is not new programs that Joe Biden is demanding. It's old programs that have been approved in the past. And as far as the GOP, as to who should compromise, they both should drop it. And basically, if they're looking at a change, and I think that there are some hints that I've heard from Speaker McCarthy that he gets this, they have to change this whole process of the debt ceiling. Now, do you know how many times the debt ceiling was raised during the Trump administration? Because there was also huge deficits, and part of that was paying the emergency money for COVID-19 and to try to lessen the economic impact of that devastating pandemic. Okay. But all three times the debt ceiling was raised under Donald Trump when he was president, the Republicans in Congress went along with it. And the Democrats did too. Because trying to object and to hold hostage and to threaten to harm the entire country, basically to try to get your way in some policy issues, is not an effective strategy to take. Do you remember there was a government shutdown that Ted Cruz was the most prominent operative behind that. A government shutdown to try to force Barack Obama to withdraw Obamacare after it had passed. And instead, they just loused up Obamacare even worse than it was because of that terrible computer rollout they had that wasn't working at all. But the point is, you're never going to get what you want. You may score some political points. But for goodness sake, something like the payment of debt for money that you have has already been authorized and expended is just basic and it's common sense. There's also this. Last Sunday, people gathered at Clark Park in Everett to protest the new No Sit, No Lie law in the city of Everett, Washington. And the law was there to ban targeting homeless people on city property near designated service providers. That all sounds very complicated. What the story makes clear is that at the protest, clothing, food, hygiene supplies, medical evaluation, shoes, and water were available for whoever needed and wanted them last Sunday at Clark Park. The gathering and giving were acts of compassion and defiance for a few dozen people protesting the city of Everett's recently expanded No Sit, No Lie law that bans people from sitting and sleeping on designated city property. No such zones have been created yet under the new law, though one has been in place near the Everett Gospel Mission since mid-2021 after the initial policy passed. Many people who showed up last Sunday were part of mutual aid groups from across the region. Mutual aid is the practice of people directly supporting the needs of others outside of government and nonprofits. The whole reason that they had the No Sit, No Lie law was to allow the parks in Everett to still be used for civilians who weren't planning or trying to live there, and basically to prevent the cluster of people around places like the Everett Gospel Mission, where the neighbors of the Everett Gospel Mission would be just overwhelmed by the encampments that would be set up right around that area. The notion that you're running to defy laws like that, well, we'll be talking coming up next hour a little bit more about what we found out about some of the efforts to, quote, help the homeless. And honestly, the more you dig into this, it turns out that the more you help the homeless, supposedly, the more damage you're actually doing. And to the homeless people themselves, the unhoused. There's a CBS News report on what's happened to the retail crime surge around the country and why it's so serious. This is a report featuring David Johnson, clip 6.
How big of an issue is shoplifting these days?
You know, retailers are dealing with epidemic levels of shoplifting, more than they've ever seen in the past. And although some can be contributed to what is normal with regards to the opportunistic or the shoplifting for personal need and consumption, what they're dealing with is a high frequency of theft, repeat offenders, and large quantities of merchandise being stolen. That's really indicative of organized groups, whether they be loosely and locally tied to large transnational organized theft groups, using shoplifting as a means of financial gain.
Okay, that was David Johnson, who is the Vice President of Asset Protection and Retail Operations for the National Retail Federation. This has to do with Target stores closing down because of the rise in crime. And obviously, this is one of those things where There are a few things that the government is supposed to do, must do. The most basic of them is protecting the country from abroad, keeping our country safe and secure. But it's also crucial that you protect citizens, and this is largely for local government responsibly, who are trying to do business, to make a living, and to live their lives. And this is why the most basic need for law enforcement, this is the issue, and the issue one of many that should work wonderfully for Republicans if we can get to it. It makes more sight, more sense, and it will be more popular to fight criminals and to criminal enterprises like this organized shoplifting and that crime surge than to be fighting Mickey Mouse and woke tendencies, as stupid and annoying as they may be at Disney. Coming up, we're going to be, among other things, dealing with the world of baseball. It's been a good season for baseball, where they've adjusted to the changes in the rules and the pitch clock and the no more shift defenses. And the changes in baseball have worked pretty well. Even George Will, who is sort of a grumpy commentator about the great game, has applauded what's been happening there. But why has Pride Night broken apart at Dodger Stadium? It all has to do with a group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Who are they? We will get to that. We'll also be talking about the King County Regional Homelessness Authority having dished out $107 million dollars to providers
for the getaway of your dreams. Come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.